Welcome in the name of Jesus, Savior of the world. We are gathered to worship, to proclaim Christ crucified and risen, to remember before God our brother, John Paul Black, to give thanks for his life, to commend him to our merciful Redeemer, and to comfort one another in our grief. Will you please stand for the thanksgiving for baptism? When we were baptized in Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Eternal God, maker of heaven and earth, who formed us from the dust of the earth, who by your breath gave us life, we glorify you. We glorify you. Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, who suffered death for all humanity, who rose from the grave to open the way to eternal life, we praise you. We praise you. Holy Spirit, author and giver of life, the comforter of all who sorrow, our sure confidence and everlasting hope, we worship you. We worship you. To you, O blessed Trinity, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. In our gathering hymn, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And let us pray. O God of grace and glory, we remember before you today our brother, John Paul Black. We thank you for giving him to us to know and to love as a companion in our pilgrimage on earth. In your boundless compassion, console us who mourn. Give us faith to see that death has been swallowed up in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may live in confidence and hope until by your call we are gathered to our heavenly home in the company of all your saints. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Father. According to Merriam-Webster, the definition of a father is a man in relation to his child or children. To me, he was much more than that, and he held many more titles throughout his 81 years. Daddy, Dad, John Boy, Uncle John, Big John, Peepaw, and in his latest chapter of his life, Big Papa. I think that was his favorite title. He adored his granddaughters, Madeline and Hadley. I'm sure my mom had some other names for him as well, but we're in church and that's not appropriate right now. I wanted to share a few things that he was to me. My first and real true love. Sorry, Brian. The love between a daughter and father is inexplicable and unconditional. When I was a little girl, I thought he hung the moon, and I still do. He was a teacher. He taught me so many things. How to drive a 5-speed when I was 12. And he would make me pick him up sometimes from random places when they had things going on with work, and I always thought I was gonna get arrested. How to refinish furniture, how to bid painting jobs. And he taught one of my dearest friends how to pick a crab clean, she told me when she had heard he passed. This next one is a big one. He taught me how to pick the perfect Christmas tree. There's actually a picture of him out there picking out a Christmas tree. This involved going to 5 different tree lots, if you had to, and looking at every tree on each lot, and even doubling back to a particular lot 2 or 3 times if you needed to. He went with me this year, and even though he was having trouble walking, and we only went to 2 lots, I made sure I looked at every single tree on each lot. He didn't know I had made my mind up long before I actually picked out my tree. I wanted to make it last as long as I could this year. My mom says it involves hours of intense looking, and she is not wrong. My husband will never understand this. The most important things he taught me aren't tangible. He taught me to follow through on what you say you're going to do, be honest, show up on time, and have integrity. Basically, be a good person. He was an advisor. I could always call him for advice. He was always right, and he always knew what to do. I would say, "But what about this?" And he would say, "I just told you what to do." And I would say, "Yeah, I know, but..." And he would say, "Girl, what did I say? Listen to your old dad." I would call him later to tell him that whatever advice he had given me was correct, and he would say, "Stick with me, kid." A critic. Yep, he was a critic. I can hear him now. "You can throw a cat through the gap in that door. When are you going to fix it? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? Why haven't you done this yet? You going to sleep all day? We're waiting on you." The list goes on, but I know he just wanted the best for me. My biggest fan. 2 days before he passed, he called me out of the blue to tell me how much he loved me and how proud of me he was. My mom told me he was bragging about me to my cousin Robin the day before he passed as well. He was usually the first person I would call when something good would happen to me. Again, that father-daughter bond is unbreakable. Although I'm heartbroken to lose my first love, my favorite teacher, my advisor, my biggest critic, and my biggest fan, I take comfort in knowing he is reunited with his family members that have passed before him and my brother Beau, whom he missed terribly. And I also know that Beau was happy to see him. They are hunting, fishing, building houses together, and watching over all of us. Rest well, Big Papa. I know you're on the eternal search for the perfect Christmas tree.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. And a reading from 1 Peter. Blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And will you please rise to receive the gospel? The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. And let us pray. Gracious God, as we mourn the death of one of your beloved children, we pray that you stir up within us your Spirit and fill us with comfort and hope. Console us in our sorrow and grant us your peace. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We gather this morning to remember and give thanks for John Paul Black, a beloved husband, father, grandfather, brother, and friend. We come to be comforted in our sorrow and strengthened in hope through the love of God poured out in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you, Casey, for sharing your memories about your dad. I know it must have been very hard, but thank you. John was a unique character and person. He came from a big family, a family that had a farm in which they grew tobacco. John had polio when he was very small and could not walk until he was 5 years old. So that when they went out into the fields, they put John on a horse so that he could help out as best as possible and they could keep watch over him. The only bad thing about that was that John was terrified of horses. Another interesting thing about John and polio is that even though he couldn't walk, he could ride a bicycle. Family told me that once John fell out of the family car. The car had suicide doors, and he was trying to throw his chewing gum out the window and inadvertently hit the door handle, and out he went. His mother noticed that John was not in the car and asked his brother where he was at. His brother reluctantly and finally told her that John had fallen out of the car. Things must have been surely interesting in the Black household. After high school, John became a self-employed building contractor. He could build anything. He enjoyed working with his son, Beau, building houses. And he later went on to operate a successful painting business down at the Outer Banks. He loved woodworking and was a person who could and would fix anything. Instead of replacing something when it broke, he would try to find a way to fix it, and often did. John loved to be right. He loved giving people grief. He loved picking on people. And he loved Zach's hot dogs. He ate there all the time, which is why the family will be heading there shortly after the service to eat together in his memory. John and Carolyn were married for 60 years. As Carolyn said, John was her man. They looked after and cared for one another throughout the years. Whenever I would call John to ask about some of the things going on with his health, he would immediately divert the conversation to something that might be bothering Carolyn. He was always more concerned about her than he was himself. Together, they knew the joys and sorrows of marriage and family, the joys of children and grandchildren, and sorrow of the death of their son, Beau, in 1998. John was a lifelong member here at Macedonia Lutheran Church. He was also very proud of the fact that his father and grandfather were scoutmasters of the Boy Scout troop here at Macedonia. His mother, I am told, Thames, like the Thames River, was known as the loudest singer in the church. And John loved to ring the bell that you saw as you came in outside underneath the portico, just whenever he would come to worship. The last few years, and particularly the last few months, were hard on John. His health, a major issue. Not too long ago, he learned that he had pancreatic cancer. And just a few weeks ago, John suffered with a kidney stone that caused a major blockage. 2 weeks ago, John collapsed at the house. Carolyn and John's niece helped him to the couch where he died suddenly and unexpectedly. There, in the comfort of his home, John entered the darkest of valleys, and death's shadow fell upon him. John now rests in the living hope that sustained him throughout this life, the living hope in which all who have been baptized into Christ Jesus stand firm. For it is that living hope that takes away our fear when death's cold shadow envelops us. John was baptized at that very font, which was dedicated over 115 years ago, to wash children and adults alike in the life-giving water and word. There he received a new birth in Jesus and the living hope of resurrection life. In the waters of holy baptism, no matter where it is or at which font or river it takes place, we who are baptized are born again, our old sinful self being drowned and our sins washed away. We were cleansed by the water and the word and reborn into this new life given to us in Jesus. We were baptized into his death and resurrection, the death that he suffered once for all for the forgiveness of sin, and into the resurrection where our Lord was raised from the dead to open the kingdom of heaven. On the cross, Jesus bore our sin, bore it upon his own body, and there it died with him, so that by his death we were set free and given new life, the new life of faith that produces a living hope. This living hope clings to the resurrection of our Lord, whom God raised from the dead to grant to us the promise of everlasting life. An inheritance, 1 Peter says. We who have been baptized into the one who is the resurrection and the life, who through baptism became children of God, also became inheritors of eternal life. So that as St. Paul says in Romans, we have been buried with him by baptism into death. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. That new life stems from the new birth we received when we were baptized. That new life is lived with a living hope. A hope that declares that though we die, yet shall we live. We shall be like Jesus, raised from the dead on the last day when our Lord comes again. That is our promised inheritance from God our Father. The inheritance of resurrection life where we will be living with God forever. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for all eternity. John was baptized into Jesus. He was a child of God, an heir of the promised inheritance of the resurrection to everlasting life. He, like the holy ones who came before us, now rests in the promise of resurrection. That when Jesus comes again, John and all of God's saints will come out on the other side of that dark valley and rise into the glorious light of Jesus, the source of hope that gives us life. It is with the same hope and into this same hope that we lay John to rest today. He now rests in that promise of the resurrection. And that hope that we receive eases our worries, our fears, our doubts, as it nurtures our faith, even as we stand in the shadow of death. For we trust and believe that the promises of God are trustworthy. May the Spirit of God give you strength and comfort to meet the days ahead. And may the God who gives us the peace that passes all understanding comfort you. Keep your hearts and minds in Jesus, He who is the resurrection and the life. Amen. God has made us His children through baptism, living together in trust and hope. We confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, in holy baptism, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion of saints in the body of Christ. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light, and your peace. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to share the new life in Christ. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Give courage and faith to all who mourn, and a sure and certain hope in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may have strength for the days ahead. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Grant to us who are still in our pilgrimage and who walk as yet by faith, that where this world groans in grief and pain, your Holy Spirit may lead us to bear witness to your light and life. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Help us, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and trust in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection to life everlasting. God of mercy, hear our prayer. God of all grace, we give you thanks because by his death, our Savior Jesus Christ destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection, he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Make us certain that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. John's brother Ronnie recorded a version of the Lord's Prayer several years ago, and he was accompanied by the organist at that time, Helen Woody. As it is now played, do not simply listen, but also pray along with the prayer as it is sung. Let's commend our brother John Paul Black to the mercy of God, our Maker and our Redeemer. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant John. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And let us go forth in peace. In the name of Christ. Amen.